Captain Marvel trailer just dropped on Good Morning America, and today we have special guest David C. Robertson from the DC On Screen podcast, and me and he are going to discuss some Captain Marvel trailer. Pretty excited about it. Right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
I'm David C. Robertson.
Welcome, David C. Robertson. If anyone doesn't know you or voice, you're from the DC On Screen podcast, kind of our sister podcast over there. We're good friends, and we're good friends for many, many years, and we both kind of started podcasts on these alternate universes. So it's a lot of fun. You guys should check his show out if you have not heard it. Or if you have, check it out. Their show is always improving. It's always great. You guys should, if you haven't checked it out in a while, go check it out again.
Yeah. We used to be really bad like a week ago.
Yeah.
This week we were really good.
This week's episode is spot on. It's what they've been striving for years.
Yeah.
So let's not let the people wait too much longer on their Captain Marvel talk. What do you think of this trailer, Dave?
You know, I don't know like a ton about Carol Danvers. Like I'm one of those guys that grew up in the 90s, so I remember Carol Danvers as being Ms. Marvel, and she got, you know, absorbed by Rogue there in the X-Men.
Right.
Before she was in the X-Men.
That's what gave Rogue her flying ability, correct?
I believe in her super strength as well. And a, you know, myriad of memories, and so that's how I remember. I remember her being in a hospital bed in a coma. So this trailer is a lot different than I remember her being, you know?
You've been hearing Captain Marvel is coming, and you're like, that sounds like a boring movie. It's just about a lady in a hospital bed.
Yeah, I mean, I know they've you know, been doing Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel, I know they've been doing that for years. I just
obviously had a life. I don't
know the character very well.
Yeah, I don't either. And you know more comics than I do, even the Marvel comics. So I'm a little comics illiterate. I do know a little bit that I've, you know, read and heard about the last couple of years since they've been announced this project, and I was still very surprised by the content of this. And I know they've recently released a new origin story for her. They're kind of redoing the origin mm-hmm. in comics. But I didn't know anything about her. It seems like two big surprises to me in the trailer are that Carol Danvers doesn't seem to know if she's human.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that, as far as I have, the little bit I know of Carol Danvers, that's not a thing I've heard. So that was surprising to me.
That she doesn't know?
Yeah, that she doesn't seem to know she's human. In all the formats I've heard of her, and again, I haven't read the books, so I'm pretty illiterate. She is mm-hmm. just a human Air Force pilot who was given powers by Marvel, and then went on to become Captain Marvel, and go on to fight this Kree-Skrull war and everything, but it was all, as far as I understood, with like the knowledge that she was originally an Air Force pilot. But this mm-hmm. seems to be like she's having flashes of how she used to be an Air Force pilot and a little girl, but she doesn't really know if that's true, is what she says in the thing. That's interesting. I didn't know that, and so that's just a different story than I was expecting. So that's pretty mm-hmm. cool. And the other big surprise for me was how much they featured Samuel Jackson in this trailer.
Samuel Jackson looks great.
He looks amazing. And the first half of the trailer, he is kind of our way into the story. Mm-hmm. So instead of, to me, this this seemed like it was going to be a sort of a Steve Rogers story. At mm-hmm. least, you know, everything that I'd heard up till now, I thought it was going to be about you know, a military person who was given powers beyond their, you know, abilities, maybe like a person with a good heart who's given powers, and then they go on to fight the good fight on a galactic level. And it just seemed like very much the Steve Rogers story, and they were introducing a new captain to the Marvel Universe, you know?
Right.
This seems more almost like a Thor story, where she's from a galactic area and then comes to Earth, And then, of course, some sort of, like, she has some connection to Earth from her past, but, like, it doesn't seem like she even knows that she's human, which is, it's just interesting. Like, I don't know if that's yeah. And it showed her, a younger version of her, it looked like waking up in some sort of alien world. It seemed mm-hmm. like that's maybe where she thinks she's from, or like maybe she has two alternate histories in her brain. Like you mentioned Rogue getting her memories. Maybe they're taking some of that, and maybe she got memories from Mar-Vell. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Like, if because at some point she does, in the comics, she did get that. There was some sort of explosion or some crap that merged her and Mar-Vell.
Okay. Well, that so seems that, like maybe that where was they're the going. Thing. Okay, cool.
And then I'm also wondering if they're. I kind of hope they are, but they'll probably not ever actually say Binary. But at some point, she becomes a sort of a differently powered character called Binary.
Right. Is that more of further into her run as Captain Mar-Vell, maybe, or is that?
Yeah, that was like Claremont. Chris Claremont did that in the 80s. Like,
okay,
if
I know Mar-Vell,
like the X-Men stuff.
If I know Mar-Vell's way they like to adapt these comic books, it'll probably be something mm-hmm. they like give a nod to at some point, or especially if they tell more of her story than a little piece of it. Because obviously this is happening in the 90s. We know from the great establishing shot of the blockbuster. I loved that a lot.
I was gonna say like her big thing when she was Binary is that she could harness the power of a star.
Okay.
And I'm like, what would you have to do to beat Thanos?
Yeah, that's absolutely a possibility. I feel like, yeah, they probably won't change her name or anything, but they might use some of those powers. That's cool. Or it might be something they do down the line. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends on how much of their story they want to tell, because, like I said, this happened in the 90s, so there's like 30 years between, you know, a possible almost 30 years between this story and the next story, or the Thanos situation that's happening in current timeline. So are we gonna get her, is she gonna be frozen like a Steve Rogers? Is she gonna be ageless and just appear again? Is she gonna be off in the universe fighting? Are they gonna tell 10 years of her story in this movie? I just don't know. You know, I don't know how much of her story we're gonna get.
It looks like they're gonna tell more than 10 years. If we're going by all of the shots of her different ages.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Apparently, in the newer Captain Mar-Vell comics, they apparently bring in the fact that she has some sort of genetic connection to her and like the Kree or something like that. So right. So they're bringing like. Her as a child already had a connection. It's not just like a random accident with Mar-Vell. It's like there's some sort of genetic connection there. So mm-hmm. we'll and normally when they change they adapt the comics right before a movie comes out, they're like preparing to try to line the movies up with the comics. So I have a feeling we're gonna get some of that. What else in this trailer interested you?
I mean, I don't want to get divisive here.
Sure.
But the Air Force stuff and you know, the Star Force stuff, where, you know, it's a bunch of people wearing green. Just reminded me of Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that. When I was saying earlier, and I decided to say it's more of a Steve Rogers story. I actually almost said it's like a Green Lantern story, and I was like, "Nah, I won't do that."
It's totally a Green Lantern story.
it very much is. If that's the story they're telling, which I think this looks mm-hmm. very different than Green Lantern. I don't.
Really, oh, absolutely. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm just saying
that plot point. You know? That plot point of her being an Air Force pilot who's taken into some sort of intergalactic force is definitely a Green Lantern corollary. Nothing wrong with that. That's not divisive. Yeah. I agree, I know, it's the internet. Everyone's gonna jump at you, especially for saying Green Lantern. And I'm gonna be divisive and say, I didn't mind Green Lantern. I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't either, especially the extended cut. It was actually pretty dope.
See, I didn't even see the extended cut. I was, I loved all the stuff on Oa or whatever.
Absolutely.
I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah. I do think that the big energy cloud was like the big mistake. Like that's the big, and that's like a big mistake that's in a lot of, early, early comic book movies is like, we can't have the bad guy be the thing it is because that's too cheesy. We'll just make it energy. It's like, no, like, no, just give it, give, make the comics as bring the comics to life. And that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to adapt things. That are, I don't know. There's a line because obviously sometimes you have to adapt things that are a little too cheesy. I don't know. I just don't know.
There was a lot they could have done with Green Lantern that they just didn't decide to do, and it was weird, and that's a whole can of worms, but you know, I think their biggest sin on that movie was the editing.
Oh yeah.
Like the editing was really, really bad. And like they kind of kept doing the thing where they kept flashing back to his dad exploding in the plane, and it's like, no, stupid. Right. Stupid.
They also, one of everybody's big complaints, and even Ryan Reynolds in Deadpool talks about the animated green suit. I loved the animated green suit. I know it probably doesn't wear well over time, but like that's his power is to create like energy. Like to me, him having an animated suit made a lot more sense than having a real suit. I don't know. I didn't mind that. Just didn't bother me. There's a lot of things that don't bother me, though. I'm pretty forgiving when it comes to a lot of things. I'm pretty forgiving until it comes to, like, character. Like, when character things are problems, that's when it really starts to bother me. If someone is a... Their motivations don't make sense, that stuff starts to bother me.
Well, it's one of those... It was one of those big, like, things that everyone sort of glommed onto is the CGI suit and mask. And I'm like, they're, you know, sort of like the Martha scene in BVS. It's just like... There's other things to criticize here, guys.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, like, that is not, that's not BVS's sin, really. Like, I honestly, when I saw the Martha scene, I was like, huh, clever. I wonder if anyone's ever done that before. That seems, I never realized their mothers were the same. That's neat. Good thought.
Seems like a perfect catalyst to make him think, like, oh, he's a guy, he's got a mom.
Because it's not, because it wasn't about the mothers, it was about the idea that he cares about his mother. Like, that's like, that he is a good being that has, like, family. Like that's, that brought Batman to, like, you know, to realize that he was wrong. And that, now, whether that should have been enough to bring Batman to, like, that's all stuff you can argue about, but I don't know. I thought the Martha thing was kind of clever. It was kind of clever. Me and you, like, the we're being the most divisive right now by being like the most like okay with things. We're like, that wasn't so bad. Like, me and you disagree on BVS. I hate BVS. I think it's really bad, but that line didn't bother me. That part didn't bother me.
Really enjoyed it.
So let's get back to Captain Marvel. That's why we're here. That's why we're here to talk about. Let's not relitigate Green Lantern and BVS.
No. I mean, I can't help it, man. She's Air Force. She's got a green suit. I had to go Green Lantern. Oh, yeah. I had to.
No,
I had to.
That's true. They did change her suit to green. They're like, look, we can do a better job of telling a Green Lantern story. They're just really rubbing it in on DC right now. A lot of times we'll go shot by shot. I feel like we've covered most of the stuff we that I really want to get into. We have some sort of alien attack happening. Do you think that in this story, Captain... He calls her a renegade soldier.
Uh-huh.
So do you think she's... I wonder if there's a force coming to attack Earth... And she is in that force, and she is turning against that force because of her connection and memories with Earth. That seems like maybe where they're going.
I hadn't thought about it really. I assumed they were going to do like a Kree versus Skrull type of thing.
Yeah, I've definitely.
And maybe their war is getting a little too close to Earth. I don't know.
I definitely think they are doing the Kree Skrull war supposedly.
Okay. I haven't followed any of this.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah. You're like, I'm too busy following DC. So yeah, and I think that's definitely evidenced by the fact that she punches an old woman in the face.
Yeah.
I think she knows.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
Knows that's a Skrull, right?
Yeah.
There's some sort of scene when she talks about not being able to know if her memories are real or not. There's some sort of scene where she's like tied into some sort of big metal machine, and she's being like, looks like she's being transmitted memories or something.
Mm-hmm.
What about the lettering shot where just the like title shot where it says her, and then the A and the O appear, and it says a hero.
Right.
How mad do you think the Wonder Woman people were when they realized they didn't think of that? Just a joke. Just
well,
a joke.
I mean, yeah. You know,
it was clever. Look, I liked it.
Yeah, it was clever. It's funny. Like, I didn't even think about it. Like, it didn't occur to me. I was just looking. I just said, "Oh, okay." And you know, one of our friends, Effie, of Stealing the Remote, wrote me and said, "Okay, it feels a little shameless to lean into the female aspect." I get it, but also you're the better part of a decade too late.
Right.
And I kind of went, you're right. They are a little late, you know? This should have been a Black Widow movie at some point. Like,
yeah, no, I'm totally with you. They should have done it before now, but I'm not gonna get mad at someone for finally making a female based movie. Like, like they're doing it. They're finally doing it. Like, whatever kept them from doing it till now, that sucks. But like, time marches on, right, and people progress, and people this was in the works long before like Wonder Woman. They're not being reactionary to Wonder Woman.
Well, I mean, Feige came out and said that Wonder Woman's success actually was, like, the tipping point to make them go ahead and do it.
I have not read that. I'd have to hear that.
That was, like, this last week or something.
Oh, yeah.
But,
You've
got to prove it to the suits. It's not their fault. You've got to prove it to suits.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense because this has been on the schedule since that El Capitan Theater thing 4 years ago. So, it's not the success of Wonder Woman that put it on the schedule. That's not, if he said, yeah, it made us put more money into it, or made it, you know, that might be true, but this has been on the schedule since the El Capitan Theater 4.5 years ago or whatever. So it's not that that's what they made them make the movie. It was, they put it on the schedule way back then. What about Coulson with hair?
He always has hair,
but he's got more hair.
He's got more hair. Yeah.
I just like to see Coulson de-aged. That's super fun.
Yeah. He doesn't look that different. Like, and I've looked him up from the 90s. He looks about the same.
Right. Right. I think they actually made him look a lot more different. For Coulson looks different than the actor does in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm excited, though.
And by the way, I did just look it up. It looks like I just read I read a clickbait headline.
Oh. Oh, it's no big deal. I just knew that.
And he said something a little different. He was, you know, just glad about Wonder Woman's success and as a proving point, but he's not saying it made it happen.
Right. See, and that's that bothers me so much. Like, when people are like, yeah, that's why we made this movie. I was like, no, this movie's on the schedule for a long time. They've been planning it for a while. And I don't know. You know, I just...
Yeah, I don't... Like I said, I don't keep up with Marvel. Yeah, so yeah, I just kind of see headlines and move on.
I don't fault you. It's the internet. It's the problem of the internet. It's like, none of us read articles. And I'm not faulting you. We don't have time to read all the articles. Well, it's fine. We have to read the articles we're most interested in. And then people put misleading headlines to get clicks. And it's just a bad marketplace to actually gain information. And I mean, we've definitely had that happen on this cast before. We fell for something or thought something said something it didn't. Because half the time when you read an article, it's nowhere near as dramatic as what they're saying. So
yeah,
but yeah, no big deal, man. No big deal.
But I mean, I think we're all forgetting the real hero here. You know, 1984's Supergirl.
That's yeah. the or like 2002's Catwoman.
Yeah, those are the real movies.
Those are the real heroes.
No, actually, I think those were the ones that made them go, like, people don't like women superheroes.
Yeah. Or maybe...
Like, guys, those were total shit. Come on.
also, that is true. And also, well, see, the thing is, like, the biggest problem is they've been giving these... They've made female heroes for a long time. But most of them have been through the male gaze, as it were. Like, the directors often have been men, or even if even if some of the creative was women on the creative side, like they've still been like making them for like a fanboy. Let's make them as buxom and curvy as possible instead of like making a character that you can get behind. And that's I think been some of the major problems with some of the previous movies. I think they've. I think
the biggest problem. Look, I mean, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, male gaze or not, she's very attractive.
Yeah.
I think the problem with those other movies is they sucked.
Right.
Primarily.
Sure.
I mean,
sure. I don't even mean necessarily those. I'm sorry. I wasn't specifically talking about Catwoman or Supergirl. I just think that like mostly with
Elektra.
Probably they've all sucked, and I think I think part of that is because a lot of the men writing them didn't know how to write female characters, and they just kind of are objects in their own movies. You know what I mean? Like they're not often the thing that's the character that's making the decisions, that like the character with agency that you're following, that men have not traditionally written women in a way that made them the protagonists of their own story.
I mean, maybe that is a part of it. The movies we have mentioned here, they were either cash grabs like 84 Supergirl. They were, you know, had heavy studio interference like every superhero movie, which is what happened with Catwoman. The writer of the original Catwoman script has been talking on Twitter, and it was just not a great situation. And Daredevil sucked before Elektra. The thing that spun off of sucked. Like, I think there's a part of it is just superhero movies at a certain point just sucked.
And yeah. Well, I mean, they weren't
few of them got through that didn't.
They weren't getting the talent that they deserved. I agree.
Absolutely.
And I think that goes for pretty much a lot of the superhero movies of that time. It's not just the female based ones.
And I'm not saying that none of that happened that you're talking about with the male gaze and men not knowing how to write women. That absolutely happened and absolutely continues to happen.
Yeah.
I just, you know, we're still in the middle of baby steps here. We're in the toddler stage of superhero movies. Like, they're still trying to figure out how to make this shit work. A lot of them. I mean, Marvel seems to have it down to a formula, almost to a fault to some degree. Some might say, but I not me. I enjoy them, but I want to point that out. I'm not arguing that. I enjoy the Marvel movies. But
yeah,
we're still figuring it out.
I'm with you. I think that that is true, and it is about time that we make a female heroes, you know, like it's just time that we make female heroes that are actual protagonists of their own story and not as problematic as the past. And I think that I really think Carol Danvers could be that. I watched this and I did not get a sense. Well, I will say this, when I was thinking about, I was watching this with the idea of, is she going to be the hero of her own story? Is she going to be the protagonist, or is she just going to be an object to be chased after or whatever? And I don't even mean sexually. Mm-hmm. I just mean in general, like not having agency. And then it got me a little worried when the first half of the trailer was Samuel L. Jackson just talking about her. I was like, come on, bring her into this. Like, talk about her. I need to see her, you know, in the story. And they did. The last half of the trailer is from her perspective, and she's giving the monologue. And I do think they were just trying to get. I think that was just the most dramatic way to start it. I don't think they were trying to. Who knows? Maybe they were trying to say, "Hey, fanboys, it's still got a man in it."
No, I'm looking at the trailer. It's kind of cool. The first half of it, they are doing it from her perspective physically. But the voiceover is Sam Jackson.
The first 20 seconds is showing her crash. And then, like, for a while, it's like following after the Marvel Studios logo, it's like following Sam Jackson's back. It's like following Sam Jackson talking. And he's talking about this renegade soldier. Like, I think they definitely, like, leaned into, hey, Sam Jackson's in this. And that's what makes me wonder. I thought when, you know, de-aging him and de-aging Coulson, I just didn't think they would have too much of them in the movie, because that de-aging technology up till now, Marvel's done an amazing job with it, but they've used it very sparingly, like in intros of the movie or like a flashback or whatever. This looks like, at least if this trailer is any indication, Sam Jackson's going to be in this a good bit. But we'll see. We'll see if that's true or if that's just how they made the first trailer.
Yeah, this looks cool. I don't know. I don't know that I have any qualms with the trailer or anything. I think it looks awesome.
Did we see any Kree in this trailer?
I didn't.
I know that Marvel. Oh, wait, yes. Okay, so that she's in that. I we're calling it a Star Force. I don't know what the group she's in. That is it.
It's Star Force.
All these green suits. Is it okay? The other people in that team all have blue skin. It looks like. And Mar-Vell was a Kree, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and it shows Ronan for a second. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Ronan's there.
So yeah, there's definitely Kree in this, and we see like our first real snapshot of the Skrulls on a beach, which I've seen images of, but we haven't seen it in video form, so that was cool. I'm really excited about the Kree-Skrull War, and I'm really excited about the introduction of the Skrulls. I think you'll be with me on this. The idea of doing like a Skrull invasion reminds me a lot of Star Trek DS9 and the Founder invasion.
Oh, absolutely. The freaking changelings.
Yeah, man. By the way, me and Dave are starting a Star Trek podcast. If you're listening to this and you've made it this far and you're enjoying me and Dave's dynamic, we're doing a Star Trek podcast starting very, very soon. So keep your ears out to both our shows. We'll be announcing it.
We'll be talking about something I know way more.
But yeah, this I love that storyline, Star Trek, the invasion of the changelings, and on Star Trek DS9, and this the idea that that could happen by introducing them here, and I think there will be some of that. The introduction of the Skrulls on Earth will have some of that element to it, but I think that it's going to move on to being like, I think eventually they'll have like the full-on Skrull invasion, and I really want that. We've talked a lot on the podcast about the idea that one of the people we already have in the Avengers could be a Skrull.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Like if Black Widow turns out to have been a Skrull all along or something.
I think that would be a mistake.
Well, we've done a lot of talking about, like, in past episodes about, like, if one of them was a Skrull, who would it be? And at what point would they have made the change? And, like, like all this stuff. Yeah. Some people think that Tony might have been a Skrull ever since the end of Avengers. He changed so much when he came back through that portal.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be a mistake, too.
I agree.
Like, I kind of think any of that would be a mistake. And I'm like cycling through the Avengers. I'm going, That's probably not a good idea for them to do any of these people.
Yeah. No, I hear you. There's also the idea that apparently in comics there were some Skrulls who didn't know they were Skrulls. And we talked about how interesting that could be. Like,
yeah, that could be.
If they continued thinking, if Tony thought he was Tony all this time, and he's been doing actions, and you know he's constantly questioning himself, but then he realizes he's a Skrull, and that's like maybe some of the mistakes he's made have been like programmed into him, and he's trying to figure out, like, that could all be cool. I think Robert Downey Jr. loves taking the character of Tony Stark to different places. Like every movie, they really give him a different emotional core to work from, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Captain Marvel, are you gonna go see it?
No, I'm gonna skip this one, I think.
Okay, gotcha. I'm
absolutely on board.
Yeah, I am very pumped. And I'm pumped partially because we got no movies till this. It's like February this comes out.
Yeah.
Or no, March. March 8th. It's so crazy how close they're putting it to Avengers 4. It's like insane that they're releasing it in March, and supposedly they're releasing Avengers 4 in April. One month apart. That's crazy.
Did they do that with Black Panther and Infinity War, though?
No, they did. Black Panther was early February. And then Infinity War was very late April, so it was almost 3 months between. And this is looking like a month to a month and a half between. they haven't actually announced that they're moving Avengers to April, but we haven't been staying on top of it like we should. But suppose there's a lot of speculation saying they're gonna. It's right now. I think it's marked for like the first week of May, but they're saying they're gonna move it to April. So
okay,
like they did last year. So crazy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be right there with the original Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Is Shazam coming out in...
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Funny. That's really funny.
I want to say I think it's actually April. But, yeah.
It must be, like, in the early April, and then you got Infinity War late April to early May. Whew, so much. So much content.
I'm excited, though.
I am, too. Shazam looks cool.
Yeah.
He looks real cool.
I'm more excited about that movie than anything else. Like,
awesome.
But, you know, Marvel fans, I'm more excited about Captain Marvel than I am Aquaman. So,
right.
You know.
Me, too.
Don't, don't think that I'm just riding, like, towing some line.
Towing the DC line. Tell everybody about the DC On Screen podcast so they can know where to find you.
Yeah, over on DC On Screen, we talk about the DC Universe podcast. We talk about the DC Universe properties on film and television. We're at DCOnScreen.com. We are we're on iTunes. We're everywhere, and except for Spotify. I don't know what that's about, but yeah. We're having fun.
Yeah.
Cracking down on some of the clickbait, even though I, you know, believed it on Marvel for a second.
Well, you can only squash clickbait in one universe at a time.
You can, yeah. It makes me worried about the Star Trek podcast.
All right, guys. Well, follow us. Follow him on DC On Screen on whatever your pod app is. And we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We're going to be starting, it looks like, a Star Trek podcast very soon, so we can follow all the Discovery news and all of the upcoming Picard series news. And just really pumped about that. And we'll just be covering lots of Star Trek content that we love because we grew up. Star Trek is what brought me. I think Star Trek is in many ways what brought me to the Marvel Universe because it taught me to love a thing with a large canon. Like, that's what I've always loved about Star Trek. You watch the original series, watch the Next Generation, you watch Enterprise, you watch DS9, and all of those things, they tie together these little episodes that'll reference other episodes, and I've always just loved that. I love the, like, expanse of 30 years having a canon that, like, is you know, talking back and forth. And this is going to be no different. I'm really excited to see Star Trek kind of get back into what I love about it. But it's why I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe too, for the same reasons. So it's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, check out DC On Screen. We're the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU to leave a voicemail. If you'd like to reach out and support the cast, we're at patreon.com/mcucast. We just posted all of our Iron Fist reviews, and we'll be coming at you in a couple days with Iron Fist feedback episode and full wrap-up cast. So come with us, come see us then. Until next time, true believers.